Welcome to Miracle Nutrition with Hardy White. I'm Hardy White. Join me, won't you? And walk with me. Friend, walk with me. Walk with me as I go around the block a couple times. We'll see what we can see. We'll look ahead of us and we'll remember what we passed. Walk around the block with me. Walk around the block with me, friend. Won't you? My grandfather's house does not lie in ruins. It was razed and a new house built in its place. I'm told this neighborhood was once cow pasture, though it becomes future cow pasture as you erase the houses with your imagination. When you do this, armies of the past appear on the horizon of the empty field. The soldiers are younger than I am, so they must be the troops of my descendants. I imagine this branch that I absentmindedly walk into is a projectile that fells me in place. This is where it finally ends. But this isn't the spot where I'm forgotten. That happened farther back on the sidewalk. The figure in the distance might be me, coming the other way round. It isn't, though. The differences are clear when I force myself to look. I avoid mirrors for the same reason. The reflection in front of you either confirms or contradicts your ideas of what might be behind you. I prefer seeing myself in the glass of store windows, my ghost dwelling among the things I desire, or rather the things I ought to desire. Mirrors are servants of the past, but glass is a double agent, a mercenary of the future. The black walnut fruits are large this year, the size of tennis balls, which is accurate, but I'll say instead that they're the size of softballs, which is poetically true and more likely to convey my awe and surprise. If they have to be the size of cannonballs in order to stand for the reality of my feelings, then so be it. I'm willing to talk about trees that reach the moon or sunsets made of God's hands, if that's what it takes, because I live in the dirt at the foot of a white oak that is the magically transformed body of a giant who carved lakes by clawing at the earth trying to find me and stop my future walks. I am willing to say that some of us live under the ground, societies of children in white robes seeking redemption in caves, while it's the brutes who live on the surface among the filth of man's degradation. I don't know which I am, but I'm wandering about in the daylight, so you can draw your own conclusions. I am taking a walk around the block. They always say, how many times have you been around the block? As an indication of how many times you've gone around the sun, how old you are, how close you are to death. I like taking walks. They remind me of so many things. First of all, they clear my mind. Why would you want to clear your mind? Well, in my case, I am having the walls of my mind painted, so I'm getting all the furniture out of there so they can access the walls, and it's a great time to take some inventory of what I have put into my mind. What is this furniture? Where did it come from? What is this drop leaf table? Did I inherit that from my grandparents? Did I buy that? Did I get these chairs at a yard sale? Where did I pick them up from? School? Are they really my taste? I like to see what's in my mind. I like to go through the closets. Every once in a while, you need to do spring cleaning and open up closets and little storage spaces. Go into the attic, see what you've shoved up in there. Because sometimes it's influencing you and you don't even know it's still there. This is what I find when I go through boxes a lot of times. Exoskeletons. Exoskeletons of insects. Remains. I'm glad I don't find mammalian remains. Sometimes you do. Find rat skeletons or something. I found my baseball glove half eaten. But no rat remains. I guess they got fat and they moved off to the country or something like that. Now that I've eaten this delicious Spalding first baseman's glove, I'm going to go and retire. To them, it's a sort of steak, I imagine. And I would oil it all the time, so it's just like it was dressed. You know how when you get a French steak frite, they have some sort of blue cheese dressing on it? I think that maybe glove oil is that for rats. So, oh, this is a delicious place. You should come to this attic every once in a while and eat the memories of this particular individual. Mine are particularly good. I'm sure my memories are appetizing. When I walk down a sidewalk, I feel as if I am awash in paradoxes. Because I'm looking ahead, and that's the future. But I'm walking where I'm walking. That's the present. But when I look in the distance to where I'm about to go, I bring it into the present. The same with what's behind me. It's the past. But is it? Because when I remember it, I'm remembering it right now. You're saying, why should I take a walk? It seems like it would disturb my mind. It might make me trip. Trip in the sense of taking some hallucinogenic drug or, literally, trip over an uneven sidewalk. If the sidewalk is uneven, and oh, if the pavement represents the years of your life, then yes, it is uneven. A slight change in the height of that paving stone can trip you up, and you will trip and fall. I noticed after watching about 5 movies by the Russian filmmaker Tarkovsky that in every single film, one of the characters trips and falls. Just once, just one character, and for no real reason, or rather no real reason that has anything to do with the story. They're just walking along, and they trip, and they get back up, and the story continues. I don't remember a lot of times when I've fallen. I do remember times when others have fallen. I was leaving the airport with my great-grandmother, Granny Ray, and she stepped off the curb and she fell. And to see an old lady fall like that, and an old-fashioned old lady, so she looked older than she was anyway, at the time I thought, oh, she must be at least 120, something like that. She looked impossibly old and frail. And when she got up, when she was helped to her feet, her knees were bloody. And it affected me deeply. Any time an old person in my family was injured or helpless or sick, I was particularly affected. When young people are sick, I'm also affected. When I am sick, I'm just preoccupied with being sick. Every time I take a walk, I see something different, especially if it's my neighborhood and I'm familiar with the block. And you wouldn't think that this would be the case, that you would grow so familiar with things that you wouldn't notice if any of them changed. But I have tried to train myself to look for differences, just like those cartoons that used to be in the newspaper where they say, here's 2 scenes that are almost identical. But they're a little bit different. Can you spot the differences? Yes. Monkey has no hat on. Lady's dress is shorter. There are 3 rings on the table. Beer is half full, as opposed to fully full in the other picture. There is a for sale sign on this house now. It seems like someone has moved. Perhaps somebody in there died. People die and move on. Their house changes. I really want to be a sort of peeping Tom. I know that's illegal. I don't want to actually see people doing anything. I don't want to invade anybody's privacy. I just want to look at their houses. I just need to see how other people arrange their furniture. A lot of times they'll have open houses or tour of homes because someone's home is so fancy, has been newly renovated, that they want you to come see it. But that's not what I want to see. I don't want to see a home that's for sale, that's been tarted up. I don't want to see a home that's been made so fancy that it doesn't really reflect the way that people are. I want to be invited into homes that are kind of half a wreck. I want to see the home of a busy family. I want to see the home of people that are afraid to leave their house and nail big comforters on the windows so that the sunlight doesn't get in and that no one can see the state of the disarray of their home. That's what I crave. I won't judge you. I just want to see it. I have to compare it to my own head, to my own home. What's your furniture? What have you collected that seems useless? Am I the only one? No one wants to seem as if they're an outlier, do they? They want to fit in a little bit. I've had people to my home and they say, "Oh, look at all those crazy paintings on your walls. You have outlandish art." Do I? I didn't realize it. I have lots of friends who make unusual things and they give me some I buy, some I make myself. I can never afford the paintings I really want, and so I do many myself, and they are very amateurish looking. But I tell myself that they will pass for sophisticated paintings in an amateurish style. Some people learn how to do things well and then purposely forget them so that their style will look spontaneous. Art brute. Art of the brutes. Folk art. I'm folk. Aren't all folk folk? Some folk are fancy folk. Some folk have skills. I don't mind that. I can taste the difference between a grilled cheese made by me and a grilled cheese made by a chef. Yes, there is a difference. I don't know all the techniques, and so I am not able to do all the variations. That's why I seek out knowledge, so I can learn things. I can make a better piece of furniture. Not that I make my own furniture. End up buying them. But I'd like to be able to evaluate quality. Say, take a look at this chest of drawers for me. Examine it like it's a real chest. Do I have to listen to it? Yes, let's put a stethoscope upon it. I think it was made in the, 19th century, judging by the heartbeat. Could you get the chest to take a deep breath for me? And you slide the drawer in and out. I want to say door, it's drawer. Sometimes people make them sound like the same word, drawer, door. Sometimes pants are called drawers. And that's funny to me since you put them in a drawer. Now I've said the word so many times it doesn't sound correct to me. Like going around the block. I've seen that house so many times it doesn't seem like a house anymore. Things seem funny to me or out of place. Like shutters on suburban homes. What are they for? They don't close. And even if they did close, they wouldn't cover the window. What are they for exactly? I saw a house that was going to be painted, and so the shutters were taken down, and it looked as if someone had shaved their eyebrows. Because the house was designed to have these fake shutters, so that when they were gone, it looked like something was missing, even though the thing that was missing was useless. I feel like this with my brain. How so? I don't know, but it must be an analogy for something. Everything must be an analogy for something, or a metaphor, or something like that. Must point to something beyond itself. I mean, it feels like that to me. I don't know. Maybe things just indicate what they are. When I walk around the block, I try to guess what buildings used to be if I'm in a city. If I'm in a city I've never been in, it's wonderful. I notice everything, mainly because I'm afraid of being robbed or beat up or something. And so I notice people. I notice all the people, and I try to evaluate them. Does that look like a beater-upper? Or does that just look like somebody on the way to work? I don't know. Can't tell. If I could tell, would it be too late? There's a fist coming at my face. I think this person is a danger to me. Mostly I'm just looking at architecture. I like to look at buildings. Buildings sometimes used to have, in stone, some kind of words that indicate what the building was built for. Bank. Or dressery. Is that a word? Bakery. In stone letters, and maybe it's no longer that thing, and now it sells high-end stereo gear, but it still says bakery. I wonder if I still say bakery, even though my brain contains high-end stereo gear. Would that be quaint? Maybe I could call my high-end stereo gear store the bakery, in a kind of ironic way. Am I misusing ironic? I feel like I am. Maybe just in an interesting way. How are stereo speakers like donuts? Drummer joke. I don't know. There must be some relationship. Isn't everything related? All people are. We're all cousins if you go back far enough. A lot of people will say, I'm not related to any kind of fish. I got bad news for you. You really are. I got good news for you. You really are. What's wrong with being related to a fish? Is it that demeaning? Do you feel like if your cousin had some kind of problem that would reflect on you? I haven't met your cousins, but I know at least one of them has got major problems. And I bet there's some fish that would make better cousins than your current cousin. So maybe you shouldn't disavow some of these animal relatives until you evaluate your own animal relatives. My family has diminished over time. I mean my immediate family. I mean the ones that I know and have met. When I was born, I had many great aunts. Not so many great uncles. They tend to go earlier. But lots of great aunts. Lots of old people. Two great grandmothers. A great grandfather. And all sorts of relatives like that. Now, they had families too, and those families still exist, I'm sure. But as the old people died, the distance between myself and these third, fourth, fifth, eighth cousins became bigger. The gulf expanded. Just like a river wears down the sides of the bank until it's too wide to cross. And I've lost track of them. And even if I did find them, we'd have nothing in common. And they'd say, who are you? And I'd say, well, we share a great, great, great. And I'd say, I'm going to stop you there. I'm not interested in meeting you. I feel closer to my friends than I do some blood relative. Oh, I'm sorry. I was just curious how your life turned out, whether we shared any kind of influence, whether I have a green chair in my house because we were kind of a green chair family. And I want to know if your life has been affected by that too. My great-grandmother always had a bowl of fudgies. That is a type of candy and a brand by, I can't remember what company. I guess it'll occur to me. Kraft, maybe? Kraft fudgies? I'm not doing an ad for them. I'm just recalling a memory. Unfortunately, the company has made that memory for me. I should have just said fudge candies. But they weren't just fudge candies. They were a particular type of square fudge candy with a gold wrapper. And that is a very important detail for me, because when I'm remembering it, I don't remember some sort of genetic thing. Maybe I do. Maybe that's it. Maybe these things are inside of me, just like DNA. Maybe I can't escape from these memories. Maybe when I clean that furniture out of my house so that the walls of my mind can be painted, that I'm destined to bring the same furniture back in because I can't part with those objects. I can't part with those memories, no matter how decrepit they are, no matter how useless the piece of furniture is. I've lost many things that were my grandfather's, that I inherited when he died. And I say inherited, but what I really mean is I went through his drawers and took things that were meaningful to me. Nobody officially gave them to me. I didn't steal them. I lived there. He was like a father to me. So it was just like taking your dead father's things. And one of the things I took and still have to this day is a small ring. It's a child's ring. And it's very soft, 18 or 24 karat gold, almost orange. So soft that you can squeeze the band and it bends at the slightest touch. And set in it is a square black onyx. And he wore this as a child, and his father wore this as a child. And I sometimes would wear this as a child. But I still have it. Even though it doesn't fit on any of my fingers. Even if it was big enough, I can't wear rings anymore because I also inherited some sort of arthritis from him and my knuckles are all swollen and I can't get anything over them. It'd be wonderful if I could because the ring would never fall off because of the knuckle, keeping it securely in place. Maybe I could get the kind of ring that just wraps around there. But that's not the kind of ring this is. I didn't have any say into what kind of ring this is because I inherited it, and I cannot get rid of it, and I wouldn't want to. When I was a young person, I sold a watch chain that I also inherited, a watch chain that had been in my family for years, but I needed the money, and I remember exactly how much I got for this priceless watch chain, $40. And I'm ashamed because I immediately spent that $40, and now I no longer have this watch chain that was my great-great-grandfather's. How foolish. But what would I have done with it? I don't wear a pocket watch. I don't need a watch chain or a fob. I don't really need a child's ring. But I have it anyway. And because you have it, you feel like, well, I gotta visit it every once in a while, look at it, let it trigger some sort of memories. And all the memories that it triggers are memories of fear, fear of losing it. That's all it is. It's an object that I'm afraid to lose. And now my memories are becoming like that. As I've lived long enough to watch some of my older relatives lose memories as if they were watch chains and rings, I worry that that's going to happen to me too. Will I even know it? I'll lose my memories, perhaps. And ultimately, I'll lose all my memories, because I'm going to die someday. I thought that as I was driving by a strip mall and thought to myself, oh, if there's one thing I hate about modern life, it's these ugly shopping centers. They all look alike. They don't have any real aesthetically pleasing element to them. They're just ugly. And the things they sell are often things that I have no desire to have. Feel a little guilty for that, too. It's my culture, my society telling me, you need this, but I don't want it. If you don't have it, everything's going to fall apart. But I don't want it. And I thought, my disgust with this, its distaste, doesn't matter. Because I'm not going to live into the future. Someday, too soon in my opinion, I'll be gone. And I won't even know how it changes. So if everything becomes this ugly and we live among strip malls, and maybe we even live in strip malls, crowded into stores, living right next to the things that we purchase to make it even easier. What if there were people living next to the shelves so they could just reach out and take things? I'm just going to live here in the convenience store because that's the ultimate convenience. I don't know. I don't want to see it. And so the universe tells me, you know what? You're not going to have to see it. And then suddenly I desperately want to see it. That's why I walk. I walk to know that I'm still going, even if I'm walking in circles. And I know that every time I go around the block, I haven't really seen everything. Because the minute I go around the block, it changes. I'm afraid when I'm on the one side of a block, that on the other side of the block, something exciting is going to happen, and by the time I get there, it's going to be over. And I'm sure that's happened. I've walked around the block, and when I come back around, there's a fire engine there, with the fireman standing right next to it, because whatever emergency they were there for is sort of over. And I miss it. And then if I do another circle around the block, then they're gone. And I think, boy, I timed that just right so I didn't see it arrive or see the emergency. Or I timed that just wrong so I didn't see them arrive or see the emergency. But that's the way it is going around the block. If you're going to see other things, you're going to miss some things. If you're going to have some furniture in your house, there's other furniture you're not going to have in your house. If you're going to have some memories in your mind, there's going to be other memories that are excluded. You can't get everything in your head, can you? I've tried, boy, I've tried to be a hoarder of experience, of memories, of ideas. I try to shove them all in there. But you know, I have limited space. I think some minds are different sizes, like some houses are different sizes, and I try to cram as much as I can into mine. And I didn't have any choice when I got this space. I didn't get to shop around and say, well, this one doesn't really have adequate closet space for me. Say, well, you know, you can buy a wardrobe What's a wardrobe? A wardrobe's like a freestanding closet, and then you can keep things in there. Oh, how does that translate to my idea that closets are like your brain and memories? Oh, maybe it's like an external hard drive or something. I have lots of information on my computer. I wonder if I even know what's on there. I keep it as a sort of extra memories, external brain. And sometimes I'll revisit it and say, ah, there we go. There's that poem I wrote. I don't have to keep it in my head anymore. When I do write things, well, I say write. I never actually write them down. When I conceive of ideas and try to remember them, I say them out loud to myself as I'm walking. And I'm sure this makes me seem like a crazy person as I walk down the road saying, my grandfather's house does not lie in ruins. Oh, good for you, sir. Oh, sorry. It's just an idea that came to me and I wanted to tell my friends, and so I wanted to remember it so I could say it to them. So I say it out loud until it makes some sort of indentation, till it's embedded in my brain the way Ahab embeds a gold coin in the mast of the Pequod. And whoever sees the white whale gets the coin. Whoever sees the white whale gets the coin. Maybe you've seen the white whale now, so you get the coin that is the line, my grandfather's house does not lie in ruins. I had that idea because I had seen ruins in a film recently. I had seen ruins of factories, ruins of homes, places that had been destroyed but the walls were still standing, or houses that had been destroyed but the chimney was still standing, and the fireplace. But that's all. Still some indication there was a house there, and if you walked up to the fireplace and walked around it, you could still get your bearings. Well, now, there used to be a chair here before it was burned by the invading army. But when a house is completely gone and something else is built over it, it's very difficult to summon those memories. So every time a house or a building is taken down, I go to the empty field briefly to try to remember what was there before they build something else. Because once something else is built, boy, I think that memory might just completely disappear. And that saddens me a bit. And then I'll completely disappear, and maybe nobody will remember there was a house there. I know that'll happen. I know that there are probably three people that care that my grandfather's house was where it was. My grandmother, my mother, and me. My grandfather died first, and then my grandmother died. So the only people that really remember, or rather I should say care, that that house was there are my mother and I. Someday when my mother is gone, it'll just be I who remembers. And then what's the point of that? Shall I drive by or go to the house and say, I remember the house that was on this lot before you built your house? And they'll say, we didn't build this house. We moved into it a year ago. Oh, do you care about what was here? No, not particularly. I'm sure before that something else was here. Well, I don't know. I can't say. That I don't remember. All I remember is a tiny little window. All I remember is the time that I was alive on Earth. I don't really know what happened before that, and I won't know what happens after that. All I know is my little section of the sidewalk. And the minute I move on, I'm not sure what happens to that section of the sidewalk, but I keep moving on anyway. Because first of all, they don't let you stand there for long. If I decided that I wanted to sit on that section of the sidewalk, eventually someone would grow concerned or perhaps even angry. They would ask a police officer or someone else to make me move on. You must move on. Sidewalks are not for sitting. But how can I be part of the present if I'm constantly moving? You're robbing me of the moment. You're forcing me into the future and away from the past when I haven't even savored what's going on here. Yes, but You must keep moving. And so I do, and I walk around the block. And I count how many times I go around. Just the way we count how many times we go around the sun. We ask that of people all the time. How old are you? How many times have you gone around the sun? And that is supposed to give us some indication of their experience, some indication of their wisdom, some indication of how long they yet have to live. How many times have you gone around the block? Enough to have knowledge, but like I said, things are changing all the time. Maybe you miss something. Depends what you're noticing. You could go around the block 50 times and not ever having noticed that building that says bakery on it that's now a stereo store. Oh, you mean the bakery? Oh, maybe you did notice. Only because I had to go in there and get a needle for my phonograph. You have a phonograph? Yeah, it's not very old. Kind of a modern phonograph. You know? It's a Techniques. I have two of them. Use them to beat mix. Oh, I didn't realize that. You seem so old. Because you've been around the block so many times. Oh, that may be. But during that time, I picked up love of things that you wouldn't think I would love. I picked up habits you wouldn't think I would pick up. I bought furniture that you wouldn't think would be my taste. Maybe it was trendy, or maybe some salesman convinced me I needed it. I don't know. But I got it anyway. So when you come to my house, maybe you'd be surprised how eclectic it is decorated. You mean eclectically? Yes. What did I say? You said merely eclectic. Oh, I am merely eclectic. I don't like to make things into adverbs. All right. That seems a strange thing. I'm a strange bird, I am. Why don't you come to my workshop? Why don't you come to my barn, where I've assembled a collection of bottle caps, which I have glued onto things, rendering them useless. Look at the bottle caps that I've glued onto this car, so many that the car no longer operates. I've glued them all over to the engine. I've glued them on walls. I've glued them on bottles. I even glued the bottle caps onto my dog. Onto your dog? Did it kill it? No, a car killed it. I glued the bottle caps after it had deceased. Ah, that's very strange. I wouldn't have even known there was a real dog under there if you hadn't told me. Ah, yes, but I lied. It's only a fake dog. I would never glue bottle caps onto the corpse of a dog, especially one I loved. Why is that? Well, I want him to return to the earth, where he can do some good. Put all his molecules back in circulation. Not steal them away, not isolate them away from the world, but put them back in. Will they appreciate them, these things that get the molecules? Will they appreciate them the way that you did? Who knows? I know. When I sold that gold chain, I'm pretty sure they melted it down just for the gold. It didn't have any meaning or value for them. All they saw was the substance of it. They didn't see the thing that it pointed to. My memories are useless to some. I could write them down in the form of poetry. I could make a stage presentation out of them. Welcome to Hardy White Talks About His Life. Hello, friends. Here's some memories of my childhood. They may be worthless to you. I don't know if they're art or not. Perhaps they're not. Perhaps I'm just downloading because I feel the need of getting them out there because I'm worried that somebody is going to not value the furniture of my mind and they're going to take a drop leaf table on which some baby was born. My grandmother had a bracelet of gold. It too was soft gold. So soft that if you bit into it, it left an indentation of teeth, and it had been bitten into. It had been used as a teething ring by generations of children in our family. They had taken this gold bracelet that belonged to my great-grandmother, and they had all bitten it to ease the pain of the teeth breaking through their gums. a pain and discomfort I don't even recall anymore, even though I was one of those babies that chewed on this bracelet. And so the gold bracelet had teeth marks all over it. When my grandmother was elderly, she went on a sea cruise with friends, and she had become a little forgetful, and she lost that bracelet. If you ever see that bracelet, please tell the person it has meaning. Just convey that for me. Whoever found it and didn't return it, please tell them what those teeth marks mean. And when it was lost, I felt like there was memories of my childhood lost, of hers lost. Her teeth were on it. My mother's teeth were on it. We had all chewed on this gold bracelet. And to somebody, it was just gold. I thought about that. Have they melted it down? Is it gone now? Is all that gone? And I continued to walk around the block. I know that things are going to remind me of that. I'm going to go around the block, and there's going to be things that constantly remind me of lost gold bracelets and lost rings. My gosh, it's happening now. How could it be? All I'm looking at are the oak trees people have planted to make their houses look more attractive. The silver maples. Oh, why on earth did they plant silver maples? Well, because they grow rapidly, and they thought, I want this place to look as if it's got all this old growth forest around it, so they plant trees that grow quickly and die young because they want it to look inviting, like a forest, like time isn't going to have effect on it, like it's older than it is, like it's been around, like it's established. I see that all the time. Trees that can do great damage to the home, and they're planted so closely to it. Oh, the things that people do to their houses, it's their business. Sometimes they have things called covenants, and neighborhood will have something called covenants, just like in the Bible. Promises to one another, except these are terribly restrictive. What they are is telling people what they can and can't do with their property. Apparently, some people find grass that has grown too long, or the lack of a decorative pear tree, or a certain color shutter to be so reprehensible and so offensive that they require you to sign a sort of contract promising that you will never do that to your house because they have to walk by it, and should they see a pink color on the walls of your house, this will so traumatize them that they cannot enjoy their life any longer, and they feel that their own property will be devalued if, for instance, you have a gnome in your front yard, or you've decided to grow tomatoes in your front yard instead of your backyard. The covenants say no. If you ever bought an old house, sometimes they'll give you covenants that are no longer legal. They've expired. Perhaps your house was built in the 1930s, and you receive the covenants anyway as a sort of novelty. And they'll say things like, your colored maid cannot be there after dark. And then you will realize the horror of the past. You will realize that maybe some of your neighbors accepted things like these. Rules that are unjust. Rules that are discriminatory. Horrible rules. Hateful rules. Surrounded by people that have accepted them. Living in a house that was once lived in by people who thought that to be normal or acceptable, who couldn't stand those who were different from them to such a degree that they made others sign contracts, keeping them away. Whole neighborhoods were restricted to different people. Oh, the houses still stand, and so do some of the people. Every time you go around the block, you confront the past, and you pull it into the present. Every time you walk around the block, you establish the future. and solidify it as you walk forward into it.
Oh, I like walking around the block with you, Hardy, though. I like to get exercise. I do, too. I like to get my heart rate up. Sometimes I do it by just frightening myself. And other times I like to do it through exercise. I'm not sure that the frightening myself part is really healthy. Though occasionally I like to have large cardboard cutouts of characters from movies or something in my basement, so when I go down there, I'm startled. Ah! Oh, my goodness! It's Dougie Jones from Twin Peaks or something. What's he want? Coffee? And I'll get a start and I'll feel my heart rate go up and I see that as a type of exercise. My great-grandmother's house had a basement. It smelled of gas, not gasoline, but you know, natural gas from the stove. They put an odor in it to let you know there's a leak, and evidently there always was some sort of leak. Her whole house always smelled like that. I made sure I never lit a match in it. Never exploded, though, and it's still there. Isn't that amazing? But down in the basement, on the walls, a cousin had painted some portraits. I believe they were, some of them were cartoons, maybe a baseball player. I have only vague memories of this, but they look like people there standing against the walls, and I would go down there and visit those paintings all the time. I'm sure they've been painted over. I'm sure that somebody bought that house and thought, we're going to renovate it, and all the old things we're going to remove. The tile in the bathroom was a tile that was popular in the 1920s and 30s. Hot pink and sort of reddish purple. And people liked that back then. And it was a bright pink bathroom that looked like part of a sunset or a sunset designed by an old lady. And I thought the bathroom looked fine, but I'm sure somebody has pried all that out. And you know, if you go to sell a house and you've got bright colors in your house, the realtor will come in and they'll say, in order to sell this house, you must make everything beige. What? Yes. People don't like the house to look idiosyncratic. They don't like the house to look as if somebody who lived here was following their passion. They don't want it to look like someone who lived here had taste that was not conventional. They want it to be beige and ordinary. That's what people want. People want beige and ordinary. Here's some paint samples I've come up with. This one's called sand. This one's called off sand. This one's called some sort of paper that's sand colored. Also shades of gray. Gray is known to make people neither happy nor sad. And that's what we want. We want such neutrality that anybody could come in here and say, yes, I could live in this house. It looks like a hotel. I could live in this house. It looks like a model house. I could live in this house because the walls aren't any particular color. But people are, and people have taste. There was a house in my neighborhood, and it was painted green. It was bright green. And I knew the people that lived there, and I liked them. I liked them a lot. They were kind, sweet people. They were also people with an artistic bent. They were people who had lived in Europe and liked fine cheese, and I always respect that. If somebody knows their cheeses, they are all right with me. And so if they want to paint their house lime green or fern green, so be it, so be it. But I had encountered neighbors that complained about this, laughed at it. Who could live in such a house? Who would want to be thought to be unique? Why would that appeal to anybody? Green? The color green? The green of moss and ferns? Why would that appeal to anybody? It appeals to me. Oh, yes, but not on walls.
Walls aren't green. Leave them alone for a while. Get some dampness on them. Make them of stone. Tell me they won't turn green. Face them away from the sun. They'll be green. You like ruins, don't you? You like when you tour a castle, you say, this side of the wall's completely green with moss. How beautiful. But if you paint your house that color, ugly. Look at the ugly house. Same with the blue house on my block. People go, oh, the blue house. What an embarrassment. How's an embarrassment? It's just a blue house. You sort of have to shake your head and go, what? Really? I live in a world where painting your house blue is thought to be something subversive, something crazy, something only a lunatic would do. I always have to think about that for a minute. That's when I get self-conscious about my choice of interior furnishings. That's why I want to see what's in other people's houses. I live in a part of the country where people have what they call very traditional tastes, which means they only like to have their grandparents' furniture and not furniture of their own. Grandparents who are long gone. Grandparents who did indeed buy that furniture at some point knew. But the fact that it is now old is what's important, and their grandparents would approve because they've left them in charge. We leave people of the past in charge all the time, afraid to move on. I can't make my own choices. They might be crazy. What if my grandparents don't approve? What if my great-grandparents don't approve of the choices I make now? What if they laugh at my clothing? Let me tell you something. Now, they may be looking down from heaven, judging your sartorial tastes. They may be looking down from heaven saying, I would never have such a couch in my house. Look, the wooden legs aren't covered with a skirt. How obscene. But it's my idea that perhaps these people are gone. And even if their souls live on, I'm thinking maybe they have other priorities now in the afterworld, and they're not so concerned with your taste in furniture. And maybe they're more concerned with how you treat one another. I don't know. I can't speak for the dead. But I don't feel like I'm being watched by my ancestors, and so I feel that I can get a rug of any color. And I don't feel as oppressed by the past as some do. I feel more liberated. I love to walk around the block. Come walk with me. Are you walking with me? Have I left you behind? Even if you decide to stop, I think that by the time I get around, you're going to be there again. And you're going to say, man, you've gone around a couple times, and I've just stood here smoking a cigarette. That's fine, too. But when you're done, why don't you come with me? We'll probably notice things. Maybe subtle things will happen. That'll be exciting. You know, you never know. The other day I saw a mantis and a mole. I guess it was M Animal Day. You say, well, that's not very exciting. I don't hardly ever see moles. I mean, not the skin type, maybe, but not the little kind that burrow in the ground. So seeing a little mole there, I was kind of excited. And seeing a mantis, oh, it was a large one. It was almost as big as my hand. It looked like it was going to maybe transform into a kung fu master or something and bite my head off. I don't know what form of kung fu that would... I don't think that's in mantis kung fu, the head biting off. I never learned it. I never studied that form of kung fu, but I don't think we would have gotten there. Maybe. Maybe the instructor one day would have brought in a papier-mâché doll and said, today we're going to practice biting the head off of our enemies. All right. I'm not sure I can do it. Well, it's easier than you think because the head is made of paper. I think I could bite off a paper head. I'm pretty sure I could. Yes. Now, will I ever encounter a paper enemy? Perhaps. But then the instructor says, really, this is just about confronting your own internal paper enemies, biting the heads off of things that haunt you on the inside, something that you have control over to a certain degree, to a certain degree. When I walk around the block, I think, should I take an umbrella? I don't know what's going to happen. It may start to rain.
If it starts to rain and I'm way on the other side of the block away from my house, I may get wet. I may get so wet that I become uncomfortable. I could catch a cold, it goes to pneumonia, and I die just like one of the presidents. One of the presidents. One of the Harrisons. Was it William Henry Harrison? He spoke in the cold at his inauguration and got pneumonia and died, I believe, 30 days in. Now, what's that have to do with walking around the block? He probably thought he was going to get to go around the block a couple times as president. He had no idea that he was going to drop dead right there in front of that spot that used to be a bakery, but it now sells high-end stereo gear. How many times have we passed that, Hardy? I forgot to count. I was counting because I was keeping track of my fitness. I like to keep track of my fitness. I don't have any kind of watch or anything that does it. I have to do it in my head. I have to say to myself, how many times have I gone around the block? Is that healthy for me? I hope so. I want to be healthy. I think of people who have dropped dead or been killed or some disaster happens to them, and I always think, did they exercise that morning with great hope and vision for the future in their heart? And then, all of a sudden, something unpredictable happens. And then I thought, well, everything that happens is virtually unpredictable. We think we know, we think we can think ahead. We think we can look down the sidewalk and predict what's going to happen as we walk down it. I'm going to continue to walk down this city block. And I'm going to get next to that mailbox, and then I'm going to take a right, and nothing's going to happen. Now, the day that somebody jumps out of the mailbox and goes, I'm the ghost of Alan Funt, and you're on heart attack camera, that's going to happen once, maybe. But, boy, I won't expect it. And there's no way to predict it just looking down there. It just looks like an ordinary mailbox now. How did I know there was some kind of joke TV show going on? I don't know that. I was walking down a city block in Austin, Texas with a friend one time having a conversation. And we got to the crosswalk of a street. And my friend was on my left and I looked to the right and I saw there was a car coming that didn't look like it was going to stop. And so I stopped. But I forgot to tell my friend, you should stop. And my friend continued to walk out into that intersection. Now, thank goodness that car slammed on its brakes, screeching to a stop just as it was about to hit my friend and run him over. I didn't see that coming. Not that exactly. And yet I was looking ahead the whole time. And we were talking to one another. And we thought the next thing that would happen is that he would give his opinion of the Scorsese movie he had just seen. And then I would say something. We didn't think it was going to end in him almost being killed by a car. But that's how it did end. And yet, we were looking into the future. We thought we saw it. But all we saw was a reflection of the present, not the true future. What are you talking about, my friend? I've inadvertently started to talk about philosophy, and I did not mean to. I meant to just take a walk with you. I meant to just clear our minds. And not even because we're having the walls of our minds painted that day and you need to get the furniture out. Just maybe clear them virtually. And when they are cleared, to clean them a little bit. Give it a little scrubbing. Get some of the dirt out there, the things that are blocking your passage. Some of the old papers. You a hoarder? You're hoarding things in your head that you don't truly need? You can throw some of them away. Might as well. Probably won't need them again. Little facts. I'm trying to get rid of commercial jingles. They've been there too long. They're starting to yellow. And I find I'm bringing them up at inopportune times. Don't need them. They're just recycling the past. I need new ones. I need new tunes. I need to make my own songs. I need to make my own jingles. I need to make my own products. I need to refresh my memories. I need to put fresh stuff in there. The old stuff just far too convenient. They make a better can opener now. I don't need this old one. I don't need this knuckle buster. And I don't need an electric one either. I need something right in between. Just a nicer handheld model. That's all. Nothing fancy. The best part of taking a walk, and I do like to take a walk alone, is taking a walk together. You and I. Talking. Forgetting about things. Now granted, sometimes we don't see what's coming up, and we could walk into something. I'll try to be more alert and grab you by the sleeve if I see you're about to get hit by a car. I promise. I've learned my lesson. I won't do that again. I won't just stop without yelling stop. But I do like to talk. I do like to communicate with others. And sometimes to just be in their presence. I've had silent walks that are wonderful. I prefer to do that in the forest. Don't like to chat too much. Always feel bad about that. Feels like talking during a movie. I'm going to miss something. I'm going to miss the call of a bird. I'm going to miss the hoot of an owl. I'm going to miss some rustle in the bushes that tells me there's a little creature there that I should focus my attention on. I'm going to miss the babbling of the creek that runs through the forest. I'm going to miss the snap of twigs. I'm going to miss those things if I'm talking all the time. Well, you're talking right now. I know I am. I can't help it. I'm just clearing things out, giving you some things, making a yard sale of ideas and memories, putting it all out in my front yard. You're welcome to come by. Please, no early birds. Please, no early birds. On my walk the other day, I saw two scavengers arrive at the same time at some very nice wrought iron patio furniture that had been put at the curb. And they both pulled up at the same time in front of this wrought iron patio furniture. And they both got out of their cars at the same time. And the one scavenger said to the other scavenger, "So, you plan on taking all of that?" Knowing that she didn't have enough room in her car. But you know what? He didn't have enough room in his car either. Now that's all of the conversation I heard. I kept walking. "You plan on taking all of that?" And I moved on. And I know that she answered him. I heard something as I moved away. But I didn't hear exactly what. And I just kept walking around. But I didn't make another loop around the block. I did the next day. By that time, all the furniture was gone. I don't know how that resolved. Oh, that happens all the time. Welcome to life. You'll never know who got the patio furniture. All you'll know is that there was a slight disagreement. And then you'll move on. And then the patio furniture will be gone. You can be sure of that. But you'll never really know what happened. I don't know that I mind. I just like walking around there with you. Now it's like you were there. It's like you were there because I told you. Oh, art. Oh, art. That's what art is like, isn't it? You don't have to be there exactly. I can tell you about it. And friends, we can be together. We can be together even when we're not together. By sharing these words. By putting words together. By putting our furniture out on the lawn and inviting others to come take a look at it and take what they need. Oh, my friends, you are listening to Miracle Nutrition on WFMU East Orange, WMFU Mount Hope, 91.9 in Rockland County and New York City, and online worldwide at WFMU.org. My friends, I am so glad to be with you every week. What a blessing it is that we can take walks together and visit together. And you can listen to me, and I can imagine the things that you're saying. Like, "What did you say?" Or I sometimes imagine you're saying, "Shut up for a minute." And I can't do that. I will shut up now, but I had to wait. I'm sorry. Oh, my friends, I hope you're able to join me again next week. Please have a wonderful week, and I will see you again then.